Hi, this is Ron Wilder. Welcome to the audio companion to my book, Aligned Action, The Key to CEO Effectiveness. Perhaps you picked up this book because you're a CEO looking to improve your company's performance. Maybe someone gave it to you, a not-so-subtle hint-hint. In any case, what I'd like you to see right up front is that you are the most powerful and critical lever to increasing the performance of your company. You are the ultimate constraint on your company's growth. And when you get better as a CEO, it has a huge multiplier effect on your entire company. Even small improvements in your effectiveness make a huge difference. And when you commit to intentionally growing and developing yourself, you and your company can continue to grow. So how do you increase your effectiveness as CEO? That's what this audio program and book are all about. But before I get into this topic, I want to make a few quick points about this audio program, including an important warning. First of all, this is the audio companion, not the audio book. It's a rather informal overview of the main ideas of the book, designed to be a companion, not a substitute. The book itself has many vital components left out of this conversation, so I highly recommend you get the book, read it, and think carefully about how it applies to you and your company. You can get the book through alignedaction.com or directly via Amazon, where it's available in both paperback or on Kindle. The book's based on over 15 years of experience working with, advising, and coaching CEOs and senior executives. There's a lot of valuable detail in the book, including exercises and examples that explain the key concepts. Now, along with this audio MP3, you should have received a PDF handout that covers the 7 essentials for aligned action. I'll refer to this handout during this program, so you want to make sure that you have it available for reference. Now for the warning. Do not go unconscious when you read this book or listen to this audio. It can be very tempting to approach a book like this, read through it quickly, skim it, get the framework, and then move on. That would be a huge mistake. You'll miss the diagnostic power of the book. Sometimes there'll be a temptation to gloss over points in the book, thinking you've got them covered. My suggestion is that whenever you notice even the slightest hesitation or nagging voice that's responding to something that I've suggested, take the time to explore it. What was it that struck a nerve? Whatever that is, it's a powerful signal to you that something in your company is not working as well as it could be. Some people will choose to ignore it, but if you go into this fully conscious and open to looking at your company and yourself, you'll find powerful opportunities for growth. Okay, let's get started and focus by considering one of the most difficult questions CEOs face. This question applies whether you're the CEO of a one-person company just getting started or the CEO of a company that employs thousands of people. Here's the question. What should I be working on right now? Now that may seem like a crazy question, but it's not. If you're an employee, you can go to your boss or supervisor and ask for direction about what to do next. Perhaps you've just finished a project and you're looking for the next thing to work on, so you go to your boss and ask. But if you're the CEO, who do you ask? Aren't you supposed to know the answer? Isn't that why the board of directors hired you in the first place? Aren't you the one expected to lead? More importantly, what does it say about you that you don't know the answer? Actually, what it says is that you're human, and while you may be a CEO, it's perfectly normal to ask this question. To see why, let me share a brief story about one of the most famous CEOs of all time, King Arthur. One of my favorite movies is Excalibur. It recounts the legend of King Arthur. Early in the movie, there's a scene where young Arthur draws the sword Excalibur from the stone. And this act reveals Arthur as the destined king, as only the true king would be able to remove the sword. Now, immediately upon realizing his destiny, what does young Arthur do? He panics. While the knights are taking sides and gearing up for a civil war, Arthur flees into the woods, chasing after the wizard Merlin. Terrified, he asks Merlin, "What does it mean to be king?" During a long, sleepless night, Arthur confronts his fears about the task ahead. And with Merlin's guidance, young Arthur comes to grips with what he must do. Then he gets to work, unifying the knights and establishing the kingdom. This scene has always been striking to me. How is it that the most famous king of legend, this man who is destined from birth to take up the sword Excalibur and unify the realm, doesn't have a clue about what he's supposed to do. Why isn't he born with all of the knowledge, skill, and courage to fulfill his destiny? Why does he actually have to figure it out as he goes along? Now, the role of the CEO is very similar to a king in this respect, in that no one arrives in the role fully equipped. People come to the role of CEO from many different paths, and regardless of your path, the way forward can become cloudy. Yet you're expected to figure it out. And so at some point, every CEO asks essentially the same question. What should I be working on right now? And unfortunately, many CEOs today are afraid to ask this question for fear of looking like they don't know what they're doing. That's extremely unfortunate. Now, CEOs are very busy people, but busy does not mean effective. Some CEOs fall into the trap of working on the things they enjoy instead of the things that need to be done, and this causes the organization to stagnate. Others fall into the trap of responding to any number of requests that they receive throughout the day. As one of my clients says, most CEOs are bombarded by requests and demands on their time. There are a gazillion things you could do, so how do you decide where to focus your time, energy, and attention? So to ask the question, what should I be working on right now, actually shows courage, not weakness. And those who take this question seriously and genuinely seek to discern the answer are the most successful and effective. When the business environment is constantly changing, asking this question, getting a good answer, and then taking action is critical for the effective CEO. Now, it turns out that there are only a few essential actions that you must take as CEO. These are the things that only you can do, and these are the things that create the conditions for sustainable high performance in your company. And that's really what this book and program are about. How to answer the question, what should I be working on right now? And once you've answered it, to develop a vital skill set as CEO that is critical to your ability to create and sustain high performance. So how do we approach this question of what should I be working on right now? Well, first of all, how well would you say your organization is performing right now? Are you generating the sales and profit growth that you want? How well aligned is your organization? Are people working on the right things in the right way, getting the right results? Let's break that down a bit further. Just imagine right now a sales rep in your company is out on a sales call. Is she communicating in the right way with your target customer? Right now a product team in your company is deciding what features to include in a new product. Are they making good decisions consistent with your business model? Right now your marketing team is developing a new marketing and sales strategy. Will they think through all of the required pieces to be successful? Right now, is the right behavior occurring in your company to create sales, profits, growth, and innovation? All of these questions ultimately lead back to you. And what are you working on right now? Are you working on those things that will create the conditions for success? So perhaps by now you're getting a sense for where all this is headed. To be effective as the CEO is really about helping other people be effective inside your company. So let me walk you through this book in a nutshell in terms of what it means to be effective as the CEO. To start, we need to realize that the effectiveness of anything depends on first understanding and defining what its purpose is. So I'm going to assert that the purpose of the CEO in any organization is to create sustainable high performance. So let's break that down. High performance ultimately means growing revenues and growing profitability. And growing sales and profitability are a result of creating something that customers want and delivering it to them efficiently and effectively. Now let's look at the sustainable part of it. For performance to be sustainable over time, you have to look at things like innovation, your ability as a company to innovate and to continue to bring new ideas and products out into the marketplace. You also need to look at succession and culture. Can your company last beyond you, and are you building something that is capable of sustaining that performance over time? If you want to be a great CEO, not just a good or average CEO, but if you want to be a great CEO, you need to look at both of those things. How do I create a high-performing organization and an organization where that high performance is sustainable over time? So if you accept that your purpose as CEO is to create sustainable high performance, how do you get it? And I'm going to argue that sustainable high performance only occurs through the aligned action of every individual in the organization. An aligned action occurs when each person across all functions takes consistent action that supports and contributes to the success of the business. In other words, everybody in the business is working on the right things in the right way, getting the right results. So what does it take for aligned action to occur consistently over time? In my experience, for aligned action to occur, 7 essentials are required. These 7 essentials must be strong, clearly defined, and in sync with each other so that the people in your organization know exactly where they fit and how to act to bring about success. The handout that you received along with this audio lays out what these 7 essentials are. If any one of these 7 is weak, missing, undefined, or out of alignment with the others, then the organization simply will not perform at its full potential. Now, it may be tempting to ignore one or more of these, but do so at your peril, because when one of the or more of these are unaddressed and left unaddressed over time, their lack of alignment ultimately causes chronic underperformance and may lead to business or career failure. And the book lays out in greater detail, step by step, how to think about where your company is and how to think about each of these essentials to alignment. And by thinking through that, you can diagnose for yourself where to work on, where to focus your energy to bring about the alignment in the organization. Now, to do this effectively, you want to realize that when you're experiencing pain or underperformance in some part of your organization, you want to trace that back to the real root cause. So, for example, if your sales are not performing as well as you would like, is it because you don't have a clear, compelling business model, or you don't have a clear understanding of who the customer is? Maybe you have a process that's bottlenecked that's preventing the sale. Maybe you don't have the right team in place. It could be any of those things, and they could be interrelated. The point here is that as a CEO, you want to be able to diagnose the root cause issues and bring those into alignment so that you create the right conditions for high performance over time. And when I work with a CEO, this is really what we do. We sit down together and we go through the entire organization, step back, really get some perspective on how the business is performing, and start to understand at a system level what needs to be in place, what needs to be strengthened, what needs to be brought into alignment that's going to enable the organization to perform in a much better way. And then the CEO really then has a clear sense of where to focus their time and energy and attention. We also figure out where do we start. Maybe it means that the place to start is to really clarify what success means for the company, to bring that out into the open. Maybe it means to get a much greater understanding of the customer. Maybe it means doing fundamental work on the business model, on the profitability of the business. It may be process flow and making sure that all the key processes are flowing effectively. It may be working fundamentally on the team and the structure of the organization. It may be putting in place a cadence around performance. And it also often means simply connecting and communicating to individuals and engaging them in the strategy of the organization. But by stepping back as a CEO to get a real clear sense of where the issues are, you now have a much better way to focus your time and energy to work on the right things. Now, many of these things may be delegated, and you may have particular members of your team who take responsibility for pieces of it, but as the CEO, your job is to look at the system-level alignment, to identify gaps across functions, and think about the organization in a holistic way. Now, at the beginning, I said that there was one critical skill set that I wanted to talk about, that once you've identified where to focus and what to work on now, how do you actually bring your organization into alignment? And what I have observed in my experience working with executives in a variety of organizations is that the real skill to develop as the CEO, the missing skill set, is what I would call engaging experts. So if you think about it, within your organization, there's expertise in a wide variety of subject areas, functional areas, and to be successful in creating alignment is to bring those experts together to figure out what the issues are and to solve the problems, to innovate, to create new business models, to define and understand who your customer is, and so forth. So what this really requires is a skill set within the CEO as a facilitator, as a coach, as a teacher, the ability to draw out these different perspectives and to help people appreciate each other's strengths, each other's perspectives, and each other's contributions, and then ultimately to lead that into a decision and course of action. Now, we're not talking about consensus for the sake of consensus, but in terms of engaging the perspectives and knowledge of each person and where you need to make the decision, make the decision. So I'd like you to think about this, that it's not simply a matter of diagnosing alignment and then flipping a switch and things are back into alignment. It's about engaging experts in the right way to bring people back into alignment. And in the book, I talk about the example of your car. When you take your car to check the alignment of the wheels, you put it up on a rack and the mechanic takes some measurements, and then he uses a wrench and some physical force to bang your car back into alignment. Well, you know, people don't really work that way. They don't respond to that type of force, and you need to handle it in a different way. So you want to engage them in a way that respects their expertise, respects their knowledge, and allows that to be coordinated across a group of people so that everybody in the company is engaged, working on the right things in the right way. And when you really get that, and when that really happens, you start to unlock discretionary effort where people go above and beyond the basic requirements of the job, and they really put their heart and soul and spirit into their work in your company. So I'd like to close out this audio companion with a quote from Peter Drucker, who said, "Only three things happen naturally in organizations: friction, confusion, and underperformance. Everything else requires leadership." What we've been talking about here is the unique nature of CEO leadership, what it requires, and what you need to do as the CEO to create the sustainable high performance in your organization so that you don't have this friction, confusion, and underperformance. That's your core work as CEO, and it really focuses you on this question of what should I be working on right now. Now, I'd like to remind you of the warning that I offered at the beginning of this program, which is that I hope that you don't go unconscious about anything that you heard on this program. As you were listening, I'd be willing to bet that you had a light bulb go off in one or more areas, and you said to yourself, you know, that's something I really ought to take a look at. And if that's happened for you, I would really encourage you to go do that, to go dig deep into your organization, think about how your organization is performing, figure out where the root causes or issues are popping up, and to then formulate a plan of action for yourself about how you're going to bring these issues into alignment. As one of my clients has said to me, aligned action is not a luxury. It is a requirement for survival, growth, and profitability. As a CEO, you must work on these essential actions that create the aligned action inside your company. That's what you need to be working on right now.